Morena, everyone. Ata Marie. The first reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. The great multitude in white robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau, tēnei tāna kupu, kia tātou. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe miti tia ia a tukupu mana.
Thanks, Sue. Well, kia ora, everybody. How are you all? You all right? Oh, it's ringing a bit there. I don't know what's going on, but hello. Yeah. I was late for church this morning. Yeah. Sorry about that. The reason was, I was getting ready, and I opened this book. This is my grandma's Bible. Yeah. And I think I'd only opened it once or twice before, but never really, you know, just because we rescued it from when she died. She died at the age of 103. And she was living in Matamata in the Waikato, and she was a lovely, lovely woman. What I wanted to bring as my visual aid this morning was her rocking chair, but I couldn't really fit it in the car. But she's got this old wooden rocking chair, and it's now in our house, and it was her prayer chair. And she's got, 52 grandchildren, I think that's right. And I'm one of them, and she would sit on that rocking chair and she'd pray for us, and she prayed for me every day, every day. And I know for a fact, I know in my heart of hearts, I know in my life, my reality, my lived life, that I would not have got through some of the things that I wouldn't be standing in here with you guys today. If it wasn't for those prayers. If I think about some of the things I got up to as a teenager and then in my 20s and stuff, and the directions my life could have taken, actually. And I know, I just remember. And she was on the other, I was in England by then, born in New Zealand, but I was in England by then, and she was still in New Zealand. And I knew she prayed for me, and she would send me letters every now and then as well. And I'd send her letters, usually when I was, in trouble. And she'd always have the right thing to say. And this morning, as I was getting ready, I was going to bring this visual aid with me because I thought, I can't fit the rocking chair, so I thought, rocking chair? Yeah, that's what it's called. Rocking chair? Yeah. I feel like rocking horse now. That's weird. Anyway, I thought I'd bring her Bible. And I thought, just as I was getting ready to come and bring it, I opened it. And then I was late for church. Yeah. Today is All Saints Sunday. And it's a day where we remember those men and women that went before us, those godly men and women. Many of them, the quiet ones, the hidden ones, the unseen ones, who brought us closer to Jesus. And we've all got, I know we'll all have people in our lives who often, the quiet ones, who have brought us closer to Jesus or kept us close to Jesus or picked us up at a moment where we needed it. And somehow they ignite our love for Jesus. Do you know people like that? Can you think of people like that now? We won't do it, but you could, if I asked you to turn to the person next to you and just say one or two things about that person, do you think you'd be able to? Or those people? I remember another person. I mean, there's just so many, actually. The more I think about it, I was just sitting there remembering Auntie Madge. We were never allowed to call her Auntie Madge. Margaret was her name. She was just there for the youth group. She didn't lead anything, but we knew we could go to her house pretty much whenever we wanted, even if it was 10 o'clock at night, And we all wanted to call her Auntie Madge because we were really cheeky, but none of us actually dared to. And not because she was strict or anything, just because we really liked her, and we knew she didn't like it, But she would just... She'd always have food for us. She'd always just have some kind words for us. These godly men and women, the saints of God. You know when Paul writes to pretty much anyone in the New Testament, he uses that word saints, doesn't he? He says, to the saints of the church in wherever it is, Ephesus or whatever. To the saints. And that word, it means holy ones. Sanctus is the Latin for holy, isn't it? And hagios is the Greek for holy. And I don't know, actually, I should look it up. Maybe that's where we get holy from, because it sounds a bit like it, doesn't it? Hagios, holy. I don't know. Anyway, be an interesting little bit of etymology for anyone who's into that. I am. But holy, holy ones. And he calls everyone in the church holy ones. So if he was writing to us now, he'd say, to the saints of God, that's you and me. Do you feel like a saint? No. But the fact is, God calls us saints in his word. We are the holy ones because we are the body of Christ. We're in Christ. But we all know, don't we, that even though we're holy ones, there are some that we really do look to who shine Jesus in a particular way, who quietly often, but who somehow ignite our faith in Christ and our love for him, who spark that love. And sometimes we say about people, don't we? We say, oh, she's a real saint, that person, don't we? Or he's a real saint, that guy. You know, they're one of those people that just loves the Lord and loves people, just gets on with it, just quietly, and somehow blesses people. And sometimes, that's, you know, the church will, they're loved by so many people that actually people say, well, you know, let's remember that person. And they're remembered for some generations. And then in a big historical church, they'll sort of say, well, actually that person, yeah, we'll call them saint so-and-so, you know. But one thing that I love about the Orthodox Church, which is the church, you know, in Greece and all that sort of eastern part of the world, is that they always say, yes, we say saint so-and-so, we honour this person, because everyone just could see in them the life of Christ, that woman or that man. But they always say, but the saints, many of the saints we will never know. They'll be at the front in heaven, and we will never have known who they were. And all the people we know are further back, you know. But those really godly men and women, the real saints of God, you know, many of them go unseen, unnoticed to the majority. Isn't that wonderful? So we're all saints. And of course, we do sometimes have in our lives people who really do affect us and touch us. So I just think, you know, and my grandma was one of those people for me. It's so different, and I just want to say this for a minute, to the world. It's upside down to the world. The people that we adulate, or that we look to, or put on a pedestal, or whatever, in the world, do they have those qualities of those people that we're talking about, those wonderful saints of God? The world has different values, doesn't it? It has values of the great man, the powerful person, or the good-looking one, or the one who amasses wealth, influence, whatever it is, to themselves. Who's all about themselves. They're not about other people. They're not about Jesus, obviously. You know, or some of them say they are, because we do it in the church too, don't we? We like our rock stars in the church. We like our big men, and it's usually men, I have to say, who can walk in, you know, and take over and kind of get things done. And I'm just thinking about some of the churches that we read about. You've heard about Arise, obviously. I'm sorry to name churches, but and you've heard about Hillsongs. So, you know, the guy that started that was born in New Zealand, wasn't he? And Arise is in New Zealand. So right close to, I mean, there's all the big ones in America, you know, Mars Hill and all that lot. But even in our own context, when we elevate people for the wrong reasons and we give them all this glory and adulation and they come in as a man of power for the hour and they're going to fix things, they're going to get things done, that's not the saints of God, is it? I mean, you're all looking a little bit like worried. Is it? Is that a godly thing? What did Jesus say when he said, you know, look at the world, look at the nations, look at the nations, look at the world. Look at the world around you, around us. And Jesus said, look at the world around you. They're great men, he said. He used those words. They're great men, lord it over them. They're the people that come in and fix it. Got to break a few eggs to make an omelette. You know, we'll get things done. This is the way. This is the vision. Let's go in this direction. A few people are going to fall by the wayside. And that doesn't matter because we're going to achieve great results together. Your great men, lord it over you, said Jesus. Not so with you. Not so with you. Think of my grandma. Think of those people we were thinking of earlier. Not so with you, for the greatest among you will be the least. Because not even the Son of Man came to be served and lord it over people and tell them what to do and fix it and have a great direction and break a few eggs to make an omelette. Move chess pieces around on the board. Yep, we'll grab that person over there. Stick that person there. You know? Not so with you. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. It's the upside down kingdom. It's the opposite of the world, isn't it? That's our... And I think that our danger is, and if I think it's true for me as well. It's true for all of us probably. I don't know. But we've got this sort of, we talk about a God-shaped hole in our hearts sometimes, don't we? We've got this sort of gap, this hole in our hearts for the great man. We want someone, actually, you know, I want someone to come in and fix it for me. I don't want to have to kind of, you know, do the mahi myself. And that person, when they come in, we're like, oh, thank goodness. And we give them the position. We give them sometimes the power. We put them on a pedestal. So I feel like, actually, it's my responsibility or it's our responsibility. You know, it's each of us. When we do this in our churches and we forget that the saints of God, that the real godly way to live. I mean, let's put that quote up there. So you've got to break a few eggs to make an omelette. I've heard people say that, obviously. I've known church leaders who have said that. And I can tell you that those church leaders have a lot of damaged people in their wake. And it's very, very sad. Just to pause for a moment, being hurt by the church is one of the worst kinds of pain. It's one of the worst. And the reason is because it's so tied up with God, with the wonderful, loving Jesus, the Savior who gave his life for us. And you want to go to Jesus, but then the people who tell you that they're the Jesus people misuse you, abuse you, do whatever. That is so painful because then you can't get to Jesus, who's the one who really genuinely has that love. It's so hard. And they say, this is who Jesus, you know, this is the Jesus people, this is what we're like. Got to break a few eggs to make an omelette. I don't think that's Jesus. I don't think that's Jesus. So pop up the next quote. The next one, sorry. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He doesn't break a few eggs to make an omelette. He will never break an egg to make. He will never break you so that he can do some wonderful stuff over here. And by break, I mean mistreat, abuse, I'm not saying we won't get hurt, we won't get, you know, face difficulties in life for the Lord. But Jesus isn't the type of person to go, well, there's going to be some collateral damage here, because if we're going to get stuff done, you know, going to have to get rid of that person. Going to have to grab that person, stick them here. Oh, sorry, family, never mind. Don't really care. That's not Jesus. Because Jesus isn't going to break a bruised reed. He's not going to snuff out. If someone's on the edge, he's there for them. Hey, is this the Jesus you know? Of course it is. It's the Jesus we know. And it's the Jesus we see in those men and women, isn't it? Those people that shine, those saints of God. I mean, better the little that the righteous have than great riches of the wicked. It's actually better to not break the eggs and not be the dynamic, blah, 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 you know, and break, well, there's a bit of collateral damage, few bruised people, few hurt people, but look at what we built. Look at what we built. What did you build it on? What did you build it on? Whose lives did you build it on? Better, actually, the little that the righteous have than great riches achieved at a cost of some wickedness. The ends justify the means, they tell us. The ends just, you know, we can build a big church. We can build a great movement, a great empire. At what cost? Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't go around breaking people. He didn't go around abusing people, damaging people, mistreating people. He just didn't. And look at what Jesus has done through the ages. Maybe the next one, if there is one more. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. So I just think, yeah, we can try and build stuff, but if we're building it on the wrong foundations, if it's not the Lord that's building it, if it's not that Jesus who doesn't hurt people and damage people, then we're not building the Lord's house, we're building our own house, aren't we? So there it is. I just think once, for me, opening my grandma's Bible this morning was a moment where I just remembered that it was all about Jesus. You know, I've, like many of us, been hurt by the church and by people in the church. But opening this book and reading some of the, you know how people, do you put stuff in your Bible? Yeah. Reading some of the things that she put in here, my goodness. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is awesome. It's worth it. I'm going to do it for Jesus. You know, and that for me was healing and a blessing and reconciliation and love. And that was just because someone who's pretty quiet, you know, just lived on her own in Mata Mata until the age of 103, you know, had a few words for me just this morning in here. A few quiet words. One of the saints of God, hidden saints, one of those godly men and women who reignite our love for Jesus, who remind us that actually it's pretty simple. It's all about him. So let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we want to say thank you very, very much for your work in our lives. And thank you for those men and women that you've put in our lives, put around us, who just shine your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your peace, your joy, your servanthood. And who help us to reconnect with you. Lord, if any of us need that this morning, just in your mercy, help us to see those people who you've made such a difference in their lives and they've made such a difference in ours. That reconnect us with you. Lord, where we feel broken this morning or wounded in any way, have mercy on us, Lord. Help us to look again to you. And to know that we're not alone, that there are many, many godly saints of God, men and women, both now and throughout, you know, who have gone before us, who have faced similar trials, and who have found their hope, their life, their healing, and their love in you. Lord, help us to encourage one another. And forgive us, Lord, where we idolize or adulate people for the wrong reasons. And for where we're prepared to actually cause a bit of harm in order to get something done that we think needs doing. Lord, thank you for your goodness and love, which as you walked this earth, you looked out for those people that were wounded. You looked out for those people on the edge that no one else would touch, that no one else would go near. Those who are grieving. And you brought hope. You brought healing. You brought your love and life and goodness into their hearts, and you do into ours. And we thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.